نغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله اسوه حسنه لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الاخر وذكر الله كثيرا. وقال تعالى في ايه اخرى والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الا الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وقال تعالى في ايه اخرى اليوم اكملت لكم دينكم واتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الاسلام دينا. And dear respected brothers and reverend elders and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, that on this day I have perfected your religion for you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and I have completed my favor upon you. Wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena, and I have chosen for you in all happiness with all pleasure Islam as your religion. My dear respected brothers, this Quranic verse in the sixth verse, it was revealed on the day of Arafah at Asr time in front of over 100,000 Muslims. And this is one of the last verses which were revealed in the Quran. That Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam madina. And after the revelation of this verse, the Prophet only remained alive for about 81 days after this. Because this verse was revealed on the 9th day of Dhul-Hijjah, in the 10th year of Hijjah, and the Prophet ﷺ passed away on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, in the 11th year of Hijjah. So my dear respected brothers, this Quranic verse, it is an extremely important verse, and this verse will benefit humanity until the day of judgment. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, in this verse that Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, that this day I have perfected your religion for you. In other words, the teachings of Islam, the religion of Islam, this is a complete religion. And in a nutshell, the message of this verse is that the ultimate standard of true faith and divine blessing, which was to be bequeathed to human beings in this world, has reached its perfection on that great day. This is, so to say, the climax of the divine blessings, in the shape of the true faith which began with Adam alayhi salam and continued in later times when the children of Adam in every period and in every area kept receiving a part of this blessing in proportion to their prevailing conditions. Today that faith and the blessing in its final form has been bestowed upon the last of the prophets sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to his ummah. So my dear respected brothers, we can understand how important this verse is. That once some Jewish scholars, they came to Umar radiallahu anhu and said to Umar radiallahu anhu that your Quran has a verse which, if it was revealed to the Jewish people, would have given them an occasion to celebrate this revelation through a festival. So Umar radiallahu anhu inquired, which verse is that? They, in response, recited this very verse, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, yes, we know where and when this verse was revealed. The hint was that the particular day was a day of double the rejoicing for Muslims. One, it was the day of Arafah, and the other was it was the day of Jumu'ah. Just like how today is the day of Eid, and also it's the day of Jumu'ah. So similarly on that day, this, the Quranic verse was revealed. So my dear respected brothers, the basic teaching and the basic commentary and the message of this verse is that human beings will find benefit and human beings will find the morals and the qualities which they need in their religion, and their religion in Islam until the day of judgment. So in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling all human beings that all human beings, it doesn't matter what century you live in, it doesn't matter what era you live in, whatever time period, wherever you are, it doesn't matter how many years far away and you are removed from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, religion will be relevant. Religion will benefit you. But at the same time, we see that in this day and age, and for many years, and for many centuries, there have always been people who have said that religion today is not relevant. Religion cannot benefit human beings today. Religion is obsolete. Religion is antiquated. Religion
something of the past. But today, the human beings, they know deeper than they know their lives. So, to the extent that Karl Marx, he said that religion is opium for the masses, or religion is the opiate of the masses. And according to McKinnon, there seem to have been a few primary reasons why opium could be used as a metaphor in the mid-19th century. One reason was that opium was the keyword for widespread social conflict, particularly the opium wars. In other words, what he was trying to say was that religion is a cause of social conflict. Or the second reason, it was a source of an important social problem. One of the first public health concerns, known as baby doping, giving a child opium to keep them quiet. That's dope. But it was being given at that time, so that's why he said that religion is the opiate of the masses. And the third reason was that morphine and everything attached to it, it gives a person a fantasy instead of a reality. So in other words, what Karl Marx was trying to say was that religion is the cause of social conflict, or it's a social problem, and it's a public health concern, or it's a fantasy instead of a reality. So there have always been people in history who have tried their utmost and tried their best to keep people away from religion. They tried their best to explain to the people that you don't need religion today. You can live without religion. But my dear respected brothers, whoever elders and sisters, either we like it or not, we are human beings and we are weak, and we go through many phases in our life. We go through many experiences in our life. We go through many emotions in our life. We experience different circumstances and different events go through our lives. And religion will provide us guidance. Religion will provide us light. And we see that in the religion of Islam, we find so many different advices for so many different types of people. There's advice for the rich, for the poor, for the healthy, for the sick, for the son, for the daughter, for the father, for the mother, for the husband, for the wife, at home, on the road, day and night, for a businessman, for a manager, for a worker, for a farmer, for neighbors. And there's so much advice for people of different classes and different backgrounds. So in other words, religion is there to give us peace. Religion is there to give us happiness. Religion is there to give us a meaningful life. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, once he mentioned in the Hadith that a Muslim is someone from whose tongue and hand the Muslims are safe. So a Muslim is someone from whose tongue and hand the Muslims are safe. So this is advice for every single human being. That if you want to be a good human being, then this is how you should be. That from our tongues and from our hands, other people are safe. So don't human beings need this advice? Even if a person is not religious, even if a person does not want religion, they need to act upon this advice. Because if they are the cause of inflicting harm on others through their tongue or through their hands, obviously there will be conflict and arguments and fights and quarrels. So this is just one example. The point here is that religion provides us guidance. Religion provides us things which every single human being needs on their day-to-day basis. Religion provides advice for the rich, that if Allah has given you wealth, if Allah has given you intellect, if Allah has given you some quality, let that not be a source of pride. Let it not make you feel proud of yourself. If you are poor, if you are not rich, then religion advises us that let not poverty be a cause of disbelief for you. Let not poverty take you away from religion and faith. Because my dear respected brothers, brothers, elders, and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made people differently. Some are rich, some are poor. But whatever condition we are in, we have to realize that in that condition, I need to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just because a person is rich, it does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with that person. Or just because a person is poor, it doesn't mean that Allah is angry with that person. And the example of that is the example of a bird in a cage. That we have a bird, and we bring this bird food and water, and we give it seeds, and we give it things, and we put it in the bird cage. But we're not doing this out of anger. We're not giving this bird this food to kill it. We're giving it out of happiness. We're giving it out of pleasure. We're giving it because we there in that mouse trap to kill that mouse. So in both cases, they're getting food. In both cases, they're getting something. But in one case, we're giving it out of happiness. And in the other case, we're giving it in anger and displeasure. So similarly, my dear respected brothers, brothers, elders, and sisters, a similar example is the example of a person who has wealth and riches and money of this world and things of this world. Some people might be getting that wealth and that money because Allah is happy with that person. Allah knows that this person will utilize his wealth in the best of manners, in the best of ways. The person will utilize his wealth on himself, on his family members, relatives, the neighbors, the poor, the widows, the destitute, and the orphans. So Allah gives more blessing to the person out of happiness, out of pleasure. But then there are others that Allah gives them wealth. But that wealth is the source and the means of that person getting further and further away from religion and faith. That the more this person's wealth increases, the more it gets to the person's head. And the further this person goes away from religion and faith. So in both cases, a human being is getting wealth. The one case, a person is getting wealth because Allah is happy with that person. In another place, Allah is giving that person wealth, but that wealth is a means of this person getting in more trouble in the hereafter. Now the example of a poor person, a person who goes through some difficulty, hardship. That somebody goes through some difficulty, hardship, this is not a sign that Allah is displeased with that person. And the example is the example of a person, a doctor using a surgical knife on somebody. The doctor is operating on someone, and the person is getting cut, and blood is coming out, and everything else like that. The reason why this person is getting cut, and the reason why there's blood coming out of this person, and this patient, and this sick person, is not because the doctor is trying to kill that person, but rather that surgery is there for the betterment and for the benefit of that sick person. But now, if that same knife comes in the hand of a robber and the thief uses that knife on someone, the robber uses that knife on someone. That is not because the robber is using that knife to keep that person alive. The thief is using that knife to injure that person and to eventually kill that person. So in both cases, there's blood. In both cases, they're getting hurt. But in one case, it is to keep that person alive. And in other case, it is to injure that person with wrong intentions. So some people will go through difficulties and hardships, but they will use that difficulty to draw nearer to Allah, to get closer to Allah. Just like that sick person being operated by a doctor, and another person going through some difficulty and hardship, that is taking that person further away from Allah. So my dear respected brothers, whatever the elders and sisters, the point, what I'm trying to mention here, is that religion is relevant in every single day of our lives. Religion is important in every single day of our lives. And we find so many advices of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the rich, for the poor, for the healthy, for the sick, for the son, for the daughter. And as Rabbi reported that the Prophet Sallallahu said, I and anyone who brings up two girls, I and anyone who brings up two girls until they come of age will be like these two on the day of rising, on the day of judgment, and he put his fingers together. So in other words, whoever takes care of two daughters, two girls properly, they will be with the Prophet Sallallahu together on the day of judgment. So once again, this is advice for people who have daughters. And many of us, we go through these experiences. But when there's no religion and faith, then people take having daughters, they take it as a bad omen. If they take it as, this is something wrong. And that is why we find so many countries across the world where there's female infanticide, where people are killing babies in the stomach just because they're girls. So why does that happen? Not because of religion, but because of the lack of religion in people. So there's advice for the parents, how they should be interacting with their children, and also for children, how they should be interacting with the parents, how they should be taking care of their parents, especially when parents reach their old age. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the 15th verse, that the way that our parents took care of us when we were small, they went through so many hardships and so many difficulties. Similarly, when our parents become old, we need to take care of them. But when will our children take care of us? When we bring them up with religion and faith. Because it is religion and faith what makes a person realize their responsibilities. And devoid of religion and faith, then that same father, that same person will end up in an assistance home where the old people stay. And then there'll be nobody taking care of that person. Even though the person's house, the son's house, is worth $500,000, $1 million, but that family member, that son, and the daughter-in-law will not be ready to take care of that father or mother. So my dear respected brothers and reverend Father, that is why we need religion and faith. We need to bring religion and faith into our lives. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions an hadith that goes for husbands, for example. When a person spends on his family and sincerely hopes to be rewarded for it, it is sadaqah for him. Every time I spend on my family members and I expect reward for it, I get the reward of sadaqah. So we don't take spending on our children as a huge burden. We don't have these figures that if I have a child, it's going to cost me $200,000 till the age of 18, for example. So these figures are mentioned to steer people away from having children. But we don't take children as a burden. We take that as a means of drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says here, when we spend on our family members, this is a form of sadaqah and charity. The advice for the wives, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a believing man should not hate a believing woman. If he dislikes something in her character, he should be pleased with some other trait of hers. So if my wife has some quality which I do not like, I should overlook that. And I should forgive her for that weakness. And I should realize that she has many more good qualities. So this is advice from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1400 years ago. And we all have wives. If you don't have wives, then I just cannot really explain to you what you're missing out on. So, we will have wives till the day of judgment. So, we need these types of advices. When we don't have this advice, and when religion doesn't motivate us, and we don't have religion in our lives, then we see so much domestic violence going on. And when we look at the statistics of this country, a country where we are champions of female rights, we see how the females are being abused in this country. So the point here is that, my dear respected brothers, we need religion. We cannot flee from religion. We cannot run away from religion. We need religion in every single day of our life till we leave this world. And religion is not something which is made up by human being. Religion has been given to us by our Creator. And just ponder over this point, that how could it happen that Christianity, Judaism, the teachings of Islam, which have three different prophets, in three different places, and they all have similar teachings, and they all have similar advices. This could never have been made up by any human being. They never plagiarized it, and they never copied from other people. This is a divine order, and a divine command, and a divine revelation. The Quran itself, this could not have been made up by a human being, by the Prophet Muhammad, someone who was unlettered, someone who didn't go to study from anyone. But when he started reciting the Quran in front of the Arabian poets, they had nothing in reply to that. So these are miracles. These are clear evidences and proofs that religion is not something which is made by human beings. And as some people say, that religion is the biggest hoax ever played on humanity. No, my dear respected brothers and Robert Alders, it doesn't matter what people say. We need religion, and we cannot escape from religion, because religion is what makes us into good human beings. Otherwise, when we don't have good morals and good qualities and good characteristics, that same human being starts acting like worse than animals. There are different types of animals in this world. There are some animals that they benefit and they assist other human beings. And they assist others, like the cows and the goats, that they, to such an extent that they sacrifice their lives for the sake of others. So we find human beings like that amongst us as well. That they will live less for themselves and more for others. They will help others, they will assist others, and they will even lay down their lives for others. And then we find other animals, like the lions and the cheetahs, that they will injure others, they will attack others, and they will kill other animals for their own existence, for their own benefit, for their own gain. So sadly to say, human beings, we find like that as well. That they will mock others, they will belittle others, they will spread lies about others. They will backbite and do evil about others. They will spread rumors about others. They will hurt others. They will injure others. They will kill others. They will kill hundreds and thousands of people. Why? For their own name and fame. For their own benefit. That if I belittle that person, if I spread rumors about that person, if I mock that person in my community, then people will think low of that person and I will be good in front of the eyes of people. So human beings, they covet, and they fall, and they degenerate to such an extent that they start by acting like animals. And then we find other animals that they will hurt others, they will sting others, they will injure others, but out of no benefit to them. That this scorpions and the snakes, that they don't get any benefit out of stinging and hurting others. So human beings will become like them as well, that they will injure others. They will mock others. They will make fun of others. They will spread rumors, and they will lie, and they will backbite, and they will injure, and they will hurt, and they will kill. For what reason? For no reason at all. For what benefit? No benefit. For what gain? No gain. So in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْهُمْ أَضَلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ, that they are like animals, but worse than animals. So my dear respected brothers and revered elders and sisters in Islam, the point here is that we need religion and faith. Now sometimes people say that I don't need religion and faith to give me advice. I have my own brain, I have my own intellect. I am smart enough to make up my own rules and regulations. I don't need any guidance from anybody else. But my dear respected brothers and revered elders and sisters in Islam, if we use that logic, then instead of a few religions, instead of a few conflicts, we will have hundreds and thousands of religions across the world. Then every person himself will become a walking religion. Every single person will think that this is my way, so it is the correct way, and everybody else is wrong. So instead of having a few religions, a few conflicts in the name of religions, we'll have millions of religions across the world. And then who decides what is good, what is bad? We know that stealing is bad. But tomorrow somebody says that in my religion, stealing is all good. Steal all you want. So who decides what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad? When human beings limit their understanding of religion to their own intellect, then instead of having few religions, we'll have hundreds and thousands of religions. So it is religion what makes a person into a good human being. Why? Because when we are religious, then we will have the fear of Allah. That today in my house, only my wife or my husband is there. There's nobody else in this room. But I will not make fun of my wife or my husband. I will not hurt my wife or my husband. Why? Even though there's nobody else here, but Allah is watching over me. Allah knows what I'm doing. I will not steal. I will not lie. I will not backbite. Because even though nobody else knows about it, but Allah knows about it. A person has an option of telling the truth and losing $100. And telling the lie, and because of that lie, the person makes $1,000 profit. So if a person tells the truth, he will lose money. If a person tells a lie, he will make money. So if there's no religion in the person's life, the person will lie, the person will steal, and the person will, just for that quick buck, the person will take that $1,000. But when there's religion and faith in the person's life, then the person will tell the truth. So my dear respected brothers, religion brings into our life the fear of God. That when there is fear, then we stop doing things. I'm traveling on the road at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the light turns red, and there's nobody else on the road there. But I will still stop, even though there's nobody else there. Why? Because I'm scared that 3 o'clock in the morning, there might be a policeman hiding around the corner, and I might get a ticket. So when we have the fear of God, then this will make a person into an amazing human being. So much respect to brothers, reverend elders, and sisters. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, that today I have perfected for you your religion. And has completed the religion of Islam for us, and he has chosen the religion of Islam as the deen for us. So therefore, my dear respected brothers, we need to understand that we need religion in every single day of our life. Why? Because religion is something which will benefit human beings and assist human beings. Now, some people, they say that, look at religious figures, that religious person. He considered himself to be a religious figure, but he did that action. And that is why in some other religions, because when they see their leaders doing something which is against humanity, which a normal human being will not do and does not do, that takes them away from religion. So some people say that, look at these religious figures, they did this wrong thing. So the reply to that, that person didn't do it because of religion. Religion didn't tell that person to do that. It's because of the lack of religion in that person. Because of the lack of religion in that person, that is why that person did that. And the other thing, my dear respected brothers, let us also remember, it doesn't matter if all the imams of the world become bad people. It doesn't matter if all the imams of the world become sinners. We do not follow our father in the sense that whatever that person says, I will do. And if that person starts sinning and does something wrong, then I will leave religion. Our ultimate role model is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our ultimate role model are the people who passed away, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are our figure, some imam does something, and it is against the law, or it is against Islam, that should not turn me away from religion and faith. That is that person's individual action. Just because somebody becomes irreligious and somebody becomes a sinner, that does not mean that I have to become weak in my faith. So the wrong actions of religious figures should not turn us away from religion. Now, another comment that atheists make about religion is that religion is a cause of conflict. It is a cause of wars.
Excuse me.
And they always like to comment that all the conflict of the world, it is because of religion. My dear respected brothers, when you look at World War I, World War II, and current day conflicts, are they because of religion? No, they're not. World War I didn't happen because of religion. The people of one religion, they attacked another religion. World War II, or even current day conflicts, all across the world. The major conflicts, even though they might be cloaked in religious wording and spiritual wording and spiritual scripture, but those are not conflicts of one religion with another religion. Those are conflicts, they're political conflicts. They're conflicts over land and territory. Like, you have taken over my land, so I want that land back. You are oppressing me, I want you to stop oppressing me. And they fight back, and they retaliate. And then there's a conflict. So those conflicts, major conflicts across the world, they're not because of religion. It is because of the lack of religion. It is because of the lack of that person being a moral person. So currently conflicts across the world are not because of religion, it's because of that lack of religion. And now we're not saying that there are no religious conflicts. There are religious conflicts across the world because of religion. But religion doesn't tell me to go and kill someone just because they're Christian. Religion doesn't tell me to go and kill someone just because they're Jewish or they follow a different religion. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there were Christians there. There were Jewish people there. And they even came and asked the Prophet ﷺ. Some Jewish scholars came and talked to Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu did not say that, oh, these are Jewish people, let me kill them. Religion doesn't tell us to kill people just because of their religion. So if conflicts are happening because of religion, it is not based on religious teachings. It is the lack of understanding of true religion and true faith. So my respected brothers, we need to keep that in mind, that the conflicts of the world, even though the atheists, they like to throw different countries, that look at this country, look at that country, that is a religious conflict. No, they're not. They're political conflicts. And these statements are just made to take people away from religion and faith. My dear respected brothers, hypothetically speaking, okay, let's just imagine there's no life after death. Even then, it is for my own benefit to be religious, to perform salat, to give zakat, to go for hajj. Why? Because, okay, there's a probability, 50-50 chance. If there's nothing after death, then it's all good. But if there is some life after death, if there is life in the grave, if there is life on the day of judgment, if there is Jannah and Jahannam, and we were irreligious, we didn't perform our prayers, we didn't give zakat, we didn't go for hajj. My dear respected brothers, I'm warning you, that is not something which we want to face. I sincerely hope that you understand the importance of these statements, that when we lead a life away from religion, when we lead a life away from salat, away from the Quran, away from zakat, away from hajj, Allah might not do something today, but in the hereafter, there is something stern and severe waiting for us. And I mention this to you because I'm the imam here. If you left your vehicle lights on, I would come and tell you that you left your vehicle lights on. If there was some fire in your house, I would come and tell you that there is a fire. So sincerely, my dear respected brothers, I stand here today and I speak to you sincerely with a sincere heart that we all need religion and faith because we know that there is life after death. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that. And when we lead life away from religion and faith, we might escape the punishment of this world. But my dear respected brothers, we cannot escape in the hereafter. But if we lead a religious life, there is Jannah. There is the blessings of Jannah and paradise forever and ever. Never-ending life. And religion is so simple. It is so easy. How long does it take for us to perform Dua prayer? 5 minutes. Asr prayer, 5 minutes. Maghrib prayer, 3-4 minutes. Isha prayer, 5 minutes. Fajr prayer, a few minutes. And alhamdulillah, hundreds and thousands of people are doing it today because they are smart. They are intellectuals. They are the clever ones. They realize that I will do just something simple today so that I save myself from harm tomorrow. So these are the smart people. These are the intellectual ones. We are not smart because of our knowledge and because of our occupation and because of being an Islamic scholar or whatever occupation that we have. That is not a sign of a smart person. The smart person is the one who realizes that I will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow. So my dear sister brothers, religion is there to give us peace and happiness in this world and success in the hereafter. We all need religion today, and I will end here by mentioning these some startling statistics. 89 people are killed with guns in this country every single day. 89 people are killed with guns every single day. There are over 100,000 rapes in the United States every single year. There are over 17,000 murders in the United States every single year. On average, more than 3 women and 1 man are murdered by their intimate partners in this country every single day. Every single day, 4 people are killed by their husbands or their wives. So this is just in this country. So is this because of religion or because of the lack of religion? Lack of religion. And this is from the World Health Organization at the turn of the century, year 2000. One person commits suicide about every 40 seconds across the world. Every 40 seconds, somebody's committing suicide. One person is murdered every 60 seconds. And one person dies in armed conflict every 100 seconds across the world. Is this because of religion or because of the lack of religion? Because of the lack of religion, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam. Every 3.2 seconds, something happens. Every 4.8 seconds, every 14.4 seconds, every 26.4 seconds. So my dear respected brothers, reverend elders and sisters, this is not because of religion. It is because of the lack of religion in human beings. We see that the youth today and the youngsters, they're becoming pregnant at the age of 13 and 14. They're having children at such an age where we never imagined before. They're being involved in drugs and alcohol and everything else like that. So many sexually transmitted infections and diseases. Why is this happening? Not because of religion, but because of the lack of religion. So my dear respected brothers, we all need religion today. Religion benefits us and helps us and assists us in every single day of our life. To such an extent that the Prophet even advised us how much to eat. That how much should a human being be eating? The Prophet also advised us how to relieve ourselves in the bathroom. So religion advises that when we're eating, we don't dig out. We don't go crazy over food. And especially in the month of Ramadan, if somebody looks at us, they shouldn't be thinking that this person has binge eating disorder or something like that. The Prophet also advises us moderation. Now, my respected brothers, you might be thinking that, you know, you're talking about losing weight and stuff like that. Why aren't you walking the talk and look at yourself, Imam? Well, immediately, let me tell you. And let me admit here, immediately, that in the past 3 months, I have lost about 30 pounds. Alhamdulillah. But dear brothers, 30 pounds. Alhamdulillah. 30 and counting. And what was that? Nobody had it? Inshallah. Okay. And being an Imam, and it is my duty to make sure that we bring in Islam in our life and Islam is relevant. Let me share with you my personal 5 steps to weight loss. The first step, what we all need to do, especially if we are overweight, you know those plastic white chairs? The plastic white chairs? Buy that. I bet you nobody gave that advice. Buy that chair and sit on it. Okay? Should I tell you why? Because one day I was visiting my parents in Toronto, and I was enjoying my seat, that chair, and next thing you know, the chair broke under me. I swear, I can imagine the shame. There I am, with my all over the floor and everything, and the chair split into, like, I don't know how many pieces. So buy that white chair, and if I come to your house, and you invite me to your house, and if you see me staring at all the different chairs, that's because I don't want to sit on that white chair. I'm scarred for life. I'm taking those white chairs away from me. So the first step, buy that white chair and sit on it and shake yourself and stuff. And just hope that it breaks. And that will be the first step towards weight loss. And I can say I'm speaking from experience because that is what made me realize that every Saturday at Pesach or QB or Alhamdulillah. So that's something which we need to add as an exercise into our daily routine, our weekly routine. Next thing you need to do is join a fitness club. There's a Anytime Fitness right around the corner here on Hopkins. Join that. Or if you don't want to do that, gather some friends. I especially give advice to the sisters. Not two sisters get together, hire a trainer, and they don't cost much, $30, $40 per hour, but if you all share the cost, you can easily get a fitness instructor on the weekends. So this could be done as well. And the next thing is that you tell everybody about it. Tell everybody that you're trying to lose weight or you're overweight. And that is what I did one day after Isha prayer. I was sitting here, and I just made so much fun of myself that I felt so bad for myself, and that is what made it easy for me to lose weight. So my respect, brothers, religion is relevant today. Every single human being needs religion in their life. So I think to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made me all understand the importance of bringing religion and faith into our life, and I guarantee you 100%, if religion enters our house, then there will be so much love between the husband and the wife, between the parents and the children, between the neighbors and the relatives. Why? Because I will go out of my way to make my wife happy. I will go out of my way to please my husband. When there is no religion and faith, then we will all fight about our own rights. That you didn't do this for me, you didn't do that for me. When there is religion, we will go out of our way to do things for others. So we need religion today, and it is important for human beings today and to forever and ever. Let us remember that after fasting throughout the whole month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, the Prophet also mentions that whoever fasts for 6 fasts in the month of Shaban, which is this month, other than on the day of Eid, where we don't fast on Eid day, but 6 days, any time throughout this whole month, then we get the reward of as if we fasted for the whole year. So we should try to fast these 6 fasts in Shaban, inshallah, whenever you can, preferably Monday and Thursday. And the important thing is that today you have come here to the masjid. Today you have come here to the masjid. But please, brothers and sisters, do not only come to the masjid on Eid days. Do not only come to the masjid on Eid days. You came here today, it was a working day. If you're only coming to the masjid on Eid days, then make a strong intention that I will start coming on Fridays. If you're coming on Fridays only, then make an intention I will come every single day. If you're coming every single day, try to make an intention I will come more than once every day. My respect, brothers, we need to progress in our religion. We want to progress so much in our dunya, in our wages. So still in religion and faith, let us progress on a yearly basis as well. So we should all make an intention that if we're only coming for Eid prayer, this is not enough, my dear respect, brothers. Nobody wants to work once or twice a year. Nobody opens their store once or twice a year. So similarly, we don't only come to the masjid once or twice a year. Let us start minimum at a minimum coming for the Jumu'ah prayers, or wherever we are at a minimum, we should be performing our prayers at home. So I need dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah make it easier for all of us to bring religion and faith into our lives, and when religion comes into our lives, that it will make us into an amazing human being. And other than that, now usually after eight prayers, we hug each other. So there's no certain method of how many times we should be hugging. And there's a huge difference of opinion between people, 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, if we're banging hands and banging nose and everything else like that. So let us just stick to one hug. Right, guys? Just one side, and that's it. Seriously, guys. One hug, because there's nothing in the sunnah how many times we should be doing it. So let's make it clear.